This morning we'll read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The reason I chose this passage is that is because this past Thursday was Ascension Day. And when I grew up, we had an Ascension Day service on Thursdays all the time. But today it doesn't seem to happen anymore that we have that Ascension Day service, and so a lot of times it falls on the following Sunday. So I thought as I was going through and trying to figure out what I was going to preach on this morning, I thought, hey, it's Ascension Day. Let's focus on that this morning. And so that's what we're going to focus on. As the title of the message says, Ascension, what does it mean? We're going to look at that this morning. But let us read from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So far the reading of God's word. May it be a guiding light unto our path. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me. When I was a teenager, my church all encouraged all the youth to attend catechism classes. In those classes, we focused on different questions and answers. We would ask, "What does this mean? Why do we need to understand these questions and answers?" Maybe some of us here this morning are saying to ourselves, "Not another catechism sermon. I've heard enough. I think I will tune out." But hold on a second. Let me explain. It was not until I spent a year in Chicago that I began to appreciate the catechism. There was a young man in his mid-20s who had memorized the catechism. He had memorized every word in the Heidelberg Catechism, which is in the back of our Psalter hymnals. He knew every word. If I went through I had the book in front of me and I says, "Question and answer 52, he'd go like that. He'd respond right away. He knew the question. He knew the answer. And so we asked him, "Why? Why do you know every question and answer by heart?" His response was simple. He stated, "Something went blank." He stated, that every question and answer reflects something in his life. Every question and answer helps him to understand what life is about. He says every scripture, every question and answer is focused on scripture. He says, well, why does people have a hard time with this catechism? It provides us with the questions and answers. And then he went on to say, you know, the catechism was written by a young man about my age. And I'm going, yes. He says, so why can't I learn the catechism the same way he wrote the catechism? And I can go and share the catechism with everybody around me by saying, talking about the question of faith, talking about the question of the Holy Spirit, talking about the question of Christ's resurrection and death. He says it helps me to go and be a witness to those around us. I might not go and say the exact question and answer, he said. But he says I can summarize the question and answer as well. So I can summarize it in my language to my people around me. This young man used the catechism as his tool to reach out and touch other people's lives. And he's still doing that today. He's no longer a young man. He's probably in his 50s now. But he still has memorized that catechism. And he still tells others about what it means. Ironically, this young man did not grow up in the Christian Reformed Church like you and I did to learn the catechism, especially us older generation, where we were taught the catechism on a weekly basis. He never had that. He learned the catechism when he was 22 years old. And it was the first time he'd ever seen it. He became excited about it. He never understood. So to understand the catechism, this young man always asked one question. What does it mean? I hope you've learned to ask that question every time you read a portion of the Bible or meditate on some important truth in scriptures. Today we're going to ask that question of Jesus' ascension. What does it mean? One of the things we need to be aware of and we need to know is this, that the story of the ascension only appears twice in the New Testament. In the book of Luke, at the end of the book of Luke, and in the book of Acts, at the beginning of the book of Acts. One of the unique things about it is that both those books are written by the same author. And so Luke was the only one that made mention of Christ's ascension. So what does Jesus' ascension mean? We're going to look at three things, or four things about Jesus' ascension this morning. First, it means that Jesus finished his work on earth. 40 days after Easter, Jesus led his disciples out to the Mount of Olives. For the 40 days from Easter to ascension, Jesus gave his disciples their last bit of instructions. He helped them all put the pieces together, which could not happen until they experienced his resurrection. Then he blessed them and he ascended into heaven until a cloud hid them from their eyes. Instead of being sad, Luke tells us in his gospel the disciples were filled with joy. What does this mean? Perhaps we are stating the obvious, but sometimes the obvious needs to be stated. God sent his Son into the world on a mission. He sent him here to save the world from sin. He sent Jesus here to rescue us for heaven. The fact that Jesus ascended back into heaven to be with his Father at his right hand means that Jesus had completed his mission. What does that mean for you and me? This, my dear friends, gives us the greatest joy and comfort. Deep down inside our sinful nature lurks the dark question the rich young ruler had for Jesus. Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Our conscience bothers us because of our many sins. We want desperately to be sure of heaven. Isn't there something we can be sure to be sure of? If only I had a stronger faith. If only I could do better at living a Christian life. Maybe if I read a Bible from cover to cover, I could feel more at peace. Now, reading the Bible from cover to cover is a good thing. But not if you're doing it because you think you will earn your peace of mind and assurance of heaven. Isn't there anything I can do to be more sure of heaven? The answer is no. Just relax and believe that Jesus had done it all. If there had been something left undone, if there was something that had to happen to complete God's plan to save us, Jesus wouldn't have ascended into heaven. He could not have left his disciples looking up into the sky if there was something that they had to do to come to heaven with him. Everything was done. Every sin was paid. Every righteous act was done and had been transformed into their account. No wonder Jesus' ascension gave them such joy, and why it gives us such joy still today. Relax and rejoice. Jesus has done it all. Recently, gone through the experience of being receiving God's joy, receiving God's comfort, receiving, just being, understanding what God has done, giving that peace. Some of you know might know this, others won't. This past January, my mother had passed away, and it was brought a lot of sadness. And then 3 weeks ago, we did the interment. We had the funeral in January. We had the burial in May because the cemeteries in that area don't bury during the winter months because of the snow. But I had a lot of people come to me afterwards when they heard that we were doing the burial much later, and says, well, aren't you still sad? Why are you still mourning because of all this? And when the day came, they says, oh, it must have brought sadness. I says, no, it didn't. It actually brought joy, because we already knew that our mother was with the Lord. All we were doing was finishing the final act of doing the burial. But yet we knew that she was with the Lord. We had nothing to fear. We had nothing to be worried about because of the promise that God has given. She believed in Christ. She believed in God. She believed he was her Savior. And so that was the assurance that we knew as a family. And so when we got together for the interment, yes, it was sad to a certain extent, but yet it brought us great joy because we knew the promise that God has given to those who believe. She was with the Lord. There is more comfort to be had in the story of Jesus' ascension. We must ask the question again, what does this mean? It means that you have a friend in high places. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What does this mean? It means that we have a friend in the right place. Jesus wrote these words, my dear children, I write this to you that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Today we would call someone who speaks in our defense a lawyer or a defense attorney. In the Old Testament terms, he would have been called our high priest. Can you picture in your mind's eye how Jesus is pleading your case before the throne? In your prayers, you've come before God's throne to make a confession of your sins. There are so many sins we must confess. Many of these sins we've confessed yesterday and the day before that. Won't God in heaven run out of mercy? Haven't you had your last chance 1,000 times already? Only there is Jesus at God's right hand. Father, he says, This sinner who has come before you is pleading for mercy. He makes no excuses. He pleads no merits or worthiness. And he has asked in my name for my sake. I bore this man's sins on the cross and paid for them. Therefore, Father, I will add my plea to his or to hers. Have mercy on them. Forgive them their sins. Do you think our Father can turn down the pleas of his one and only Son? Because Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, you have someone who speaks to the Father in your defense. I know of someone, when he was a teen, did a horrific crime to some of the members of his family. The court sent this young man to prison to pay for what he did. His family asked the courts to have mercy. It was a horrific crime. The courts didn't have mercy, and this person had to serve his sentence. Because of the type of sentence, this person would always have a record. In order to clear his name, this person needed to ask for a pardon, when granted, his record would be cleaned. In the same way, God has given Jesus the right to pardon us before his throne. No matter how awful your sin may be, no matter how little you deserve to be pardoned, trust in Jesus to save you, and you will be pardoned before God's throne. We've heard it over and over from people who give testimony, who have been criminals, or have done something drastic, and yet they've come before the Lord and asked for forgiveness, and they felt God's forgiveness. They've been healed, they've been changed, and they're trusting in the Lord. There are other things we could speak of today in regard to Jesus sitting at God's right hand. He rules all things for our good. He gives pastors and teachers to his church so that the gospel may be proclaimed. Time does not permit us to explore these today. Only permit me time to ask one or two more questions. What does Jesus' ascension mean? It means that Jesus will come again. Sometimes I think our New Testament should have been arranged so that the Gospel of Luke and Acts, which was also written by Luke, should have been put right next to each other. For then the account of the ascension, the gospel, and this one before us would be back to back. Let me put these few verses next to each other, and you will understand what I mean. This is from the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Here we have these words. This same Jesus who had been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And that's in our passage, what we read this morning. Did you catch the connection? Do you see why Jesus' ascension into heaven gives us comfort for the day when he returns? The angel said that Jesus would return in the same way, hands and bless his disciples. Same way he returns. Luke tells us that he ascended, he lifted up his hands and blessed his disciples. Jesus said that When he comes again on that last day in power and glory as the King of Kings, the whole world will tremble before him. Those who denied him will look for the rocks to crawl under and caves to hide in. They will know him then, but only in terror. Will it be for us all? No. The last thing the disciples saw were the nailed marks in his hands, the symbol that our sins were atoned for on the cross. And that will be the first thing that we see. For those who believe in Jesus, who have beheld his death, witnessed his resurrection, and gazed upon his ascension, there will be no fear when he comes again. Didn't Jesus just speak this way to us too? In John 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." How tenderly our Savior spoke before he ascended into heaven. If you were moving your family to another country, first you would go and set up your home, find schools, make sure everything was safe for them. Before you left, you would tell them, "Don't be afraid, I'll go and make sure everything is all right. When I have a home for us, then I will come back for you, and we could all be together again." So tenderly, Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. So our ascended Savior speaks tenderly to you today as well. Don't be afraid. I know the world is a hard place. There are many sorrows and dangers. I will always be with you. I will never leave you alone. I'm getting a place in heaven ready just for you. When I come again, I will take you home and we will be together again. So, ascension, what does it mean? It also means that Jesus is sending his Spirit to be with us so that we don't have to live in this world on our own. The Spirit is there as our guidance. He's there to guide us and give us direction, give us wisdom, give us comfort, give us strength. The Spirit's power, as the disciples witnessed 10 days later on Pentecost Sunday, came upon them. For us today, the Spirit is here with us, helping us, walking beside us, guiding us. We're not on this earth alone. We have the Spirit with us. Jesus didn't leave us. Instead, with him ascending into heaven, he sent his Spirit so that the Spirit would be with us to protect us, to guide us. For some of us, we don't always understand how that works, how the Spirit is for guiding us. Let me share a story. Since I've been working at the Lighthouse, I've had an opportunity to meet different and interesting people. First 3 years I was there, I met a young man, and he was always talking about strange things, and I couldn't quite grasp what he was getting at. And one day he said to me, You're a pastor, but you know that I'm a high priestess in the Satanist order." And my mouth dropped. I did not know that. And as we got talking, we talked about the differences between Christian faith and why I believed and why he believed in his religion. And we dialogued back and forth. And then he made one statement that blew me away. But I also was very thankful because the Holy Spirit was guiding me as well in what to say next. And he said to me, he says, "You know, since I'm a high priestess in the Satanist order, I can destroy your ministry and I can destroy you." Thought for a second, yeah, that's probably true. But then I made this statement to him. And I says, "Well, that's fine. And that's possibly correct. But," I says, "you know something? I have a higher power than your power. And," I says, "I know that that higher power is going to protect me. And you can't touch me." Interesting enough, after 2 weeks, I've never seen this man again at the Lighthouse. And that the Holy Spirit was protecting us from this young man. When he made that statement, sometimes I make statements I don't realize why I'm making, but later on I reflect on it. I know the Spirit has given me the wisdom to say that. And so that's one of the aspects of the ascension. We have the Holy Spirit with us today. So what does Jesus' ascension mean? It means that the Holy Spirit is with us as well, guiding us, walking us through life, protecting us, giving us the strength the courage and the comfort. When we walk out there into the world, we have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because of what Jesus' ascension has done for us. And one of those is the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit be upon us. And we give thanks for your ascension into heaven. And we give thanks that we were reminded of what it means, what the ascension means for us today, and how you are preparing a place for us, how you've sent your Spirit to be with us, how you have completed your mission. And so, Lord, we give thanks for that. And so on this Ascension Day, Sunday, as we recognize and acknowledge what you have done special for us so that we can go and celebrate and share with the world the wonderful news. We give thanks that your Spirit continues to surround us, continues to protect us, watch over us, and guide us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.